Chapter 5. Let's have a round for sex at 80. I was still so ignorant about sex at 15. The stork brought you made as much sense as anything else. I could have run prizes for my jingle brains. I tried finding information at the library, the place where I go when something stumps me, but no luck. I mean, I checked the card catalogs, even got up courage to ask the librarian. I scanned Shakespeare, Hemingway, Faulkner, Voltaire, Tolstoy, you name it. Nada. Lots of romantic leads-ups, such as Made the Earth Move and all that. Then the authors would chicken out and blah, blah, nothing. No attempts at portraying physical intimacy, which is what I wanted to know. I read the above paragraph to my brother about my know-nothing ignorance, hoping for a laugh, or maybe an enlightened observation. But what I got was, how could any person able to tie their shoelaces be such a jughead? Furthermore, it bored him. I could have read him the calendar and gotten the same response. He couldn't stop repeating, I never realized you were so dumb. And yeah, in spite of Mom, I masturbated but didn't connect the two. So, fellow reader retirees, don't despair if someone calls you stupid. There's always someone more stupid. Me, for instance. Oh, and hey, I'd like to hear it from anybody as dumb as I was. It's always comforting to hear from a fellow numbskull. So I can't claim to be an authority on the subject of sex or even in the ballpark of authority, as not only was I a late bloomer, and I mean late, I am now a non-participant in this particular endeavor. And my ideas are probably as corn pawn in this time of New Age speak as driving a stretch of highway without the cruise control, which I don't do either. And furthermore, most of my lessons in the 30s and 40s came from my aunts, who'd tell me, stay clean. Meaning what? Like I was going to go out and roll in the mud? I would have liked to get some information about sex from the gutter, a helpful insight that handicapped me by Mom and my strict Mormon upbringing. Finally, a kid down the street clued me in. Holy Mother of Jehoshaphats! I still can't believe at my age of 82 my mother did it. I and my sibs had to be artificially inseminated. Furthermore, parents in those days thought ignorance was bliss, at least for females. Considering all these limitations, I'll give the subject of sex my best shot. As I've said before, I haven't been near a sexual orgasm in years, except for an occasional participation with myself. When I got to thinking about this subject, I became interested in checking out once again the old equipment to see if it still worked. So far, so good. Although, like everything else in this decrepit old carcass, sex is losing altitude. No trips into the clouds. Well, the cloud trips were usually psychological anyway. And youthful passion has been replaced by cynicism. The only place to go now. I'd like to check out someone else's equipment. You know, give it the old college try. But caution gets in the way. Females do have an advantage in this quarter, in that they don't have to embarrass themselves, as they have the advantage of pretending. Men don't. Males can't pretend as their clunker is right out there in the open. And the sad fact is, even with Viagra, they may not, oh hell, probably won't, get their aging parts to work like new again, or even close to new. So looking at it from another viewpoint, Immanuel Kant believed, and I'm quoting, wasting semen is a waste of vital energy. He also said, and I quote again, every sexual act is suicide. Old single men generally keep the appearance of youth longer than married men. The waste that is coitus is one of the causes of men's weakening, unquote. That's from Harper's, September 2010. So, one excuse for limited sex is we don't want to age prematurely, do we? So, what do the elderly think of the young and this sexual revolution? And even though the oldsters don't take much part in this main event, we're still interested. So as the media is talking so much on the subject of gays and marriage, let's take a peek at them. For heaven's sakes, let them get married. In fact, I think we should encourage marriage. Let them get stuck with the problems of boredom and divorce. Why should heterosexuals be the only one dealing with those headaches? In addition to that, there's a lot of violence in marriage. And it's more pleasing to the ethically inclined if the fights are somewhat of an even match. Like a 200-pound male beating up a 100-pound woman doesn't seem fair, although I know a 100-pounder can be just as irritating as a 200-pound one. Nevertheless, I like the idea of fairness in aggression. And so what's so nice in a homosexual relationship? Well, if one party hauls off and socks the other, the socky can haul off and hit the socker back, hopefully a better blow. That's a nice idea of sportsmanship in homosexuality. Bullying is so passé. From the stuff you've been reading, you've probably formed some idea that I'm gay. Well, you're partly right. I wanted to go gay when I was 12. But my cousin, who had the seniority of being 13, said, "You're supposed to like the opposite sex." So as it came from a higher authority, I began to pay attention to boys. Moreover, I was just told to tell you, be nice to gays. They're the only ones that will dance with old ladies at parties. Another biggie in the media is child molesters. I am also out of step on that one. Don't think child molesters should get as long a sentence in prison as murderers do. Can't speak for others, but I know for myself, I'd rather have been molested as a child than been murdered. On the other hand, I'm amused at the emphatic horror put on pedophiles in the media rather than on murderers. Maybe because killing is so antediluvian, been around before the flood. Yet child molestation, well, it seems to be a more modern trend. Looking back, I didn't know one kid who'd been molested, nor had I. Of course, my scabby knees didn't arouse any great lust amongst older men during those Depression years. Also, kid attractiveness didn't have a big play in those days. Kids were ciphers. So any old man stuff that I had during my childhood years, forget it. Grown-ups weren't much interested in kids. Nobody ever heard of a pedophile. Heard on TV about a guy who posted on the internet that he liked to look at little kids. And he was arrested. When I was young, strangers not only looked at me, but picked me up, held me on their laps, tickled me, ruffled my hair, and told my mom what a cute kid she had. What little kids miss today? Today's adults are so fearful they don't dare touch or even look at a kid. And all my friends agree, saying they ignore kids, as it's too dangerous to interrelate with them. It takes a brave person, or maybe a stupid one, to pay attention to a kid, not their own. There's so much media attention to child molestation that mothers are scared silly. Someone will touch their kid. So they keep their kid from playing outside or getting any attention from men. Something that was invaluable to me. Having my uncles and daddy's friends teasing and horsing around with me was one of the high points of my day. So are we raising a generation that will be fearful of strangers And are we going overboard about child molesting? As when I was a kid, we went overboard about white slavery. To get back to sex and murder, have you noticed that a celebrity's sexual brouhaha gets 100 times more media attention than 1,000 Afghanistan deaths? And to be fair, I guess scandal is more interesting than tragedy. Hey, this was supposed to be about sex at 80, and it's become a political rant. Sorry. But on the other hand, it's good to know this generation isn't any smarter than our generation. At least not about sex.